a beautiful day the Lord hath made.
Yes.
And I know you're going to say, doesn't you know it's rainy and cloudy?
No, that's okay.
But it's a beautiful day to me. This is the first day in a long while I've gotten up. My eyes haven't been matted shut. So rain, no allergies. That's a good day for me.
Amen.
Well, we want to welcome you to the house of the Lord today. It's a special day today. We are celebrating or appreciating the pastors in the past few months that have filled in and kind of kept us on track, and that's a good thing. You know, we say about a permanent pastor, but when we have multiple pastors, we get a whole lot more attention from each pastor. So I just, real quick, I want to read two scriptures, and then we'll go into announcements. The first one's out of 1 Corinthians 15:58. We're appreciating pastors. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. How does that describe each pastor that we've come in contact in the last couple of years? And here's another one, real quick. 1 Timothy 5:17. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor. Double honor. We should be so appreciative of our shepherds, especially those who work in preaching and teaching. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Announcements. None?
Well, I do have some books in the back. They are fiction, but they take place in Jerusalem, and there's a lot of historical data there, of biblical historical data. Anybody who wants one, there's two of them back there. I have two others. Feel free to take one.
Danny.
I completely forgot. I'm announcing it for anybody else that forgot. Today is the lunch at Mountain Gate after church to appreciate pastors.
Correct. I didn't get to that yet. You're right.
Okay, now we'll get to it. The Mountain Gate has told me, because we're having 30 people signed up total, it's $30.47 per person. That is what they're charging. Yeah, that's the buffet and everything. They did not say anything about ordering off the menu. So, but they are going to charge something for us to get them all together. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Right. No surprises, right?
Yep.
I think that's for the one where you go do and get it.
Right. That's what she said, the buffet.
Yeah. Well, she was telling me they're charging for us sitting all together, too, as a group.
Yes, because of the amount of servers
right.
and stuff. Yes.
And they added the gratuity.
We just got to remember those servers. That's not an easy job. Okay? Any others?
But to make sure it's clear, not everybody that has to take the buffet.
You'll have to talk to the waitress on that, because that's the price they gave me.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I know I'm not taking the buffet.
Okay. All right. I'll let you guys wrangle that out up there. And if I hear it come over the news, Thurmont man arrested. I'm just teasing you, Frank. See, I can tease you because you're my cousin.
I've been teased many times.
Right.
Just a reminder on the 28th, Tuesday evening, council meeting.
Yeah.
7 o'clock.
I forgot about that, too.
Debbie, back on the Mountain Gate thing, I do for State Farm Luncheon every quarter, and they give me a price, too, okay? But when they say that it includes your meal, your tax, your tip, your gratitude, okay, everything is included, okay? But you can also use your little card. If you have a card, if you're a member up there, they'll give you the 10% off. Up to $30, whatever they're going to charge. And I do have two people that actually order from the menu. You just tell, like you said, just tell the waitress, and she'll make sure that it happens for you, for those that can't eat whatever's in the buffet. Okay?
There you go.
So just so it's clear for you all, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Any others? I have one announcement. Well, it kind of will go into the joys and concerns, but it's also announcement. We've been praying for Cindy and Russell and their granddaughter, Tori, okay? And we definitely need to continue to pray for Tori and her family, but some of us have decided that Tori came to this church as a little one. I taught Tori and her sisters. And what better way to be the hands and feet of Jesus as to reach out to Tori? You know, once they grow up and they move away, yes, they usually don't come back, but there's other circumstances as to why. But we should never forget those children that we've had in our care all those years. So what we've decided is we're going to do love gifts. Okay, now what I mean by love gifts is specific, because Tori's going to be off work for quite some time. and we all know we need two incomes most of the time with young families. So to help her and her husband and family, we would like to do gift cards to, like, I know that they shop at Walmart. They get their groceries there in Waynesboro at Walmart. And some eating places. You know eating places that there's some in Fairfield that they live in Fairfield. But even if it were in Thurmont Eatery, I'm sure I was told that her husband could pick up food on the way home. So be in thought about that, what you want to do. And I'd like to put a box back there, and you can put a card with some, you know, some comments, like that they know that we care and we're here for them. And then you can drop it in, and then I think I'm going to get with Miss Wan and see if the Ladies Aid can't do something too. So I think it's nice that on our behalf that we do something for them. What better way for Monocacy to be the hands and feet of Jesus if we can't if we don't reach out in times like this, yeah. Right? Okay, enough said. Okay, call to worship, Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Worship in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard yourselves and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Kind Heavenly Father, we are rejoicing. We rejoice that we have you in our lives, that we can come to you, and that we have this little church on the hill that we can come to and just worship together and give you praise and give you honor and give you glory. Father, we thank you for all things, both good and not so good, because we know we're not guaranteed to not have trials, Father. You've said that. But where will we be without you when we go through those trials? So, Father, again, we thank you. We pour out our love to you this day, and we just thank you for all the many blessings, and it is in the precious name of Jesus we ask. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Okay. You're on.
I want to do a song with you that I learned years ago from Scott Duffy. Scott Duffy is a fellow pastor. I think he's probably retired by now. But it's a song that I've taught every place that I've gone in South America and Africa and so on and so forth. And actually, a group that I taught it to here in the United States, a musical group, went to Egypt. And they had a recording done, and they sent me a copy of the recording, and this song was on that recording. So it's actually been recorded. And so what you need to be able to do is snap your fingers. Oh, you're pretty good at it. I've done this with some churches where they, you know, have a hard time snapping their fingers. Okay, the way it goes is I sing a phrase, and you simply repeat it. Okay? Okay, you ready? Up above my head.
Up above my head.
I hear singing in the air.
I hear singing in the air.
Up above my head.
Up above my head.
I hear singing in the air.
I hear singing in the air.
Up above my head.
Up above my head.
I hear singing in the air.
I hear singing in the air.
And I really do believe.
And I really do believe.
There's a heaven up there.
There's a heaven up there.
Up above my head.
Up above my head.
I hear laughing in the air.
I hear laughing in the air.
Up above my head.
Up above my head.
I hear laughing in the air.
I hear laughing in the air.
Up above my head.
Up above my head.
I hear laughing in the air.
I hear laughing in the air.
And I really do believe.
And I really do believe.
There's a heaven up there.
There's a heaven up there.
Up above my head.
Up above my head.
I hear singing in the air.
Up above my head.
Was I supposed to read that, Create in Me a Clean Heart?
I guess so, unless you want me to read it.
Oh, well, I didn't know if that was supposed to be the prayer instead of me praying. Okay, I'll read it.
Okay.
Read it. And you all should be familiar with this, because long ago when I played the guitar before the arthritis set in, we did this a few times. Okay, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Amen.
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 All right.
Number 469. Please stand at the table.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount unveiled, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sin. Sin and despair like the sea of threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold. Voice to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will greater than all our sin. Darkness a stain that we cannot hide. What can avail a washing away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow. You may be the day. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will fill in and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Our call to stewardship comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. We'll bow our heads. Kind Heavenly Father, we just ask today that you would put a special blessing upon the offering in the box today, that you would just bless, that you bless those kind hands and hearts that have given. May they have a blessed week. Father, we just, and help us always to be good stewards of the monies that are provided here, that we would use it wisely and for your kingdom here, to build up, to bring lost souls in to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Joys and concerns. I had mentioned Tori. We must keep her in our prayers. Wanda.
Keep my brother Harold in prayer.
Please keep Ralph in your prayers. He's having aches and pains with his hip and back, so we all know what that's like. And then they want to just hand out pain meds, so you know how that goes. Keep Cody in your prayers. I haven't said anything lately. He's doing really well, but the medicines, they've changed him to... It's a vicious cycle. They give him the meds so that he's not having all those issues with the things going on, the voices and all that. But in the same breath, it makes him so sleepy that all he wants to do is sleep. And so then the doctor tells his parents, "You can't let him sleep like that. You got to keep him awake." Well, you all know when you're sleepy, you cannot, you can't function. So he's double whammy. So just pray that his body would, adjust to the meds, that he can be more alert and just not sleep all the time.
Thank God for the wonderful rain. Mm-hmm. And keep our Travis also in prayers and our family. And Debbie for surgery coming up in a couple weeks. Just 2 weeks.
Yes. She's been struggling with that for a long time.
I have a joy concerning my beautiful wife. She had two tests this week. I won't mention what they were, but they came back very positive, and the doctor said she'll never have to have those tests again.
Amen.
And I also finished my third dose of iron that I had to take, but I should start feeling a little peppier.
Good.
Not ready to dance yet. But
there you go. There you go. Now, I see Miss Donna's hand up back there.
I have a joy. Thank you all for your prayers for my son, Daryl, who went through the surgery well. He had a lot of pain that day on Thursday. But Friday morning, he woke up and he said, "Mom, I have no pain." But then when he walked, he had a little bit, so he took Tylenol and he iced. And yesterday, he said, "Mom, I have no pain."
Oh, wow. That's
praise God.
And I said, "Praise God for that because of your prayers." Yes.
Yep.
God is good.
Yes.
Pastor Tracy?
We were with Sister Marie Brown yesterday and heard about her work in the Far East and just wanted to keep those countries and her contacts over there in prayer. Pastors and churches over there go through a lot of things that we don't even recognize or would know. But countries like Myanmar and Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, a lot of them are experiencing pressures from their governments.
Mm. Yes. Bradley?
I just want to thank God for one that's now lost 54 pounds and it's been a struggle to do. But I want to remember my family in prayer for salvation.
I think we all have some family member or other we want to pray for salvation. That includes all of us. Any others? Okay, let's come before the Lord, however comfortable for you to do so. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the many blessings. We answer prayers. If we made a list, we'd be here for days, just going down the scroll. Father, just know how grateful and how thankful we are that we serve such an awesome God. Father, we thank you for your son who went to that old cross just so that we could have a way to you. We pray for those that are out in the world that think Buddha's the answer, Allah's the answer. So many have different answers, but we know that you, your son, is the one true way to heaven. And we pray for those that do not know that. We just pray that somebody's put in their path to bring them to you. Father, we want to lift up Tori. She has some serious ailment going on there, and we don't have to mention it. You know it, and we just ask that you keep your loving arms around her and her family, her grandparents. Give them that inner peace and comfort as they go through this, that they know that they have you in their corner. Father, we think of Harold and Doris, the Peters family, Ralph, Cody, and we want to lift up Travis Peters. You know his problem, and only you can provide the answer and the outcome for this, Father. And we just pray that Travis puts his problems in your lap and ask you for help. Father, we thank you for the rain. Oh, what a blessing. We thank you for Sister Carol's test that came out good. What a joy. And Daryl, you know, even though Daryl's young, they still have health issues, and we just thank you and praise you for taking the pain away. Father, we think of Bradley, that he has been struggling to, we all know how it is to lose weight, but he has been continually dropping the pounds, Father, and we just ask that you continue to give him that strength and understanding going forth so that he can continue on that path. We think of Travis Stamball, who is having problems too, Father, and we just ask that you would touch that young man in a mighty way, that you would clear his mind and his thoughts and just bring him around to where he needs to be, Father. Father, we think of the Baker family who has struggles, and we think of Deb, who's going to be having surgery soon. We just ask that you be with her until she gets the surgery. Would you please keep her pain minimal and her sickness? Father, we think of Marie Brown Ministries. Oh, my, what an outreach. If anyone has ever gotten a pamphlet from her as to what they do and how the seeds they sow in these other countries, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. And we just ask that you continue to bless her ministry. Bless those pastors that she helps throughout everything. I'd be here all day to list the pastors, but just be with them. Give them the strength and courage they need to continue to spread the gospel. Father, we each one of us probably has one family member or another that needs to find their way back to you, Father. I can attest to that. And Father, I just ask that for all of our loved ones that have strayed off the path and think that they don't need you in their corner, I just pray that they would be awakened and that they would come back to you, Father. Father, I thank you for all the pastors that have filled in the past few months. What a blessing. It's just a blessing to have so many to come and care for the sheep here at Rocky Ridge. Father, now we just ask that this day of appreciation would continue on and be a pleasant day, and that we could just have a good time of fellowship later. Father, we also want to lift up Pastor Bob and Sister Carol for their love to come here and work with us and watch over us and lead us. And we know that Pastor Bob has meditated and prayed and read the scripture this week. And so, Father, he has studied and did his part. Now, as we as the congregation, we need to do our part, open our ears and our hearts and listen to what you would have him tell us. Father, we thank you for all these blessings and favors. And now let us unite our hearts and prayers in that perfect, hearts and voices in that perfect prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Number 50, and then Pastor Bob takes over.
Please stand if you're able.
Still seated, please turn to page 473 in your hymnal, and let's read together one of my favorite psalms in all of the psalms, the Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Jesus said, in fact, it was the first thing that he said when he came down off of the mountain where he was tested before Satan himself. He came down off the mountain after 40 days of fasting. And he was walking along the Sea of Galilee. And he saw Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. And he called out to them as they were fishing, "Follow me, and I will show you how to fish for men." Jesus came to show us how to be fishermen and fisherwomen. And he said, when he said, "Follow me," that wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men and women, and I will show you how to embrace the kingdom of God." Well, that's what I want to talk about this morning. And, you know, what does it mean? How do we follow Jesus? Well, Jesus' teaching strength was not through his words, but through his actions. How many of you had a father who taught you that way? Yeah, my dad taught me to be humble. Now, that was been a struggle for me, I'll be honest with you. But he never sat down with me and said, now, Bobby, you need to learn to be humble. How did he teach me to be humble? He was humble. I saw it in his humble. One of the greatest things that my father taught me that have helped me to be a good pastor is my dad was one of these guys who could fix anything. And I'm an only son, and I have three sisters. And we were all amazed at how my dad always was able to fix whatever was broken within our household and within the household of our friends. In fact, when we would go to visit my Aunt Mary in Philadelphia, I never saw my dad. And one day, as a little boy, I said, "Mom, how come I never see Dad when we go to visit Aunt Mary?" And Mom said, "Well, because he's always down in her basement fixing things." My dad saw that nothing was ever so broken that it can't be fixed. And as a pastor, I've been through some pretty crazy situations, but I've never been a part of a crazy situation that I didn't think could be fixed by the blood of Jesus. See? You're asking, how did I do that? Well, that will remain a secret. Okay. I want us to look at, if you have your Bible with you, look at John. And I think I picked up the Bible that doesn't have my notes. There we go. I'm sorry, Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. And this gives five very clear descriptions of how we are called to follow Jesus. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Jesus went out to where hurting people were. Yet we have a completely different attitude within church today. And this isn't something that I'm saying about this congregation. But in general, church in the United States, we build these beautiful cathedrals. And we have great musicians. And we try to get wonderful preachers so that we can draw people in. Jesus didn't draw people into a church. He never built a building. Jesus went out to where hurting people were. And that's what we're called to be about as followers of Jesus. Now, it's good to have a church building here, and it's fun, isn't it, to be together? But the call of God is not to hope to get somebody here as a good enough preacher to bring a bunch of people in. But our hope is out there where we can reach out to people. So he went from city to village, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." And so Jesus is living out five things that we need to be committed to doing as followers of Jesus. The first I just talked about. We need to be willing to go out and meet people where they are, rather than demanding that they come in here. That's the way Jesus worked. And that's the way we brethren were for the first 200 years. We spent most of our time going out to people. We came to the Philadelphia area, actually Germantown, which is today a suburb outside of Philadelphia. And we went there, and we were hardly settled before we started reaching out to people who were not brethren, who may not have been Christian, but reaching out to them and inviting them to become a part of this community of faith that we were part of. By the middle of the 1800s, we had crossed the entire United States. Now, of course, some of our farmers went to find more land, but many of them went to continue to share the gospel. And believe it or not, California used to have the largest concentration of brethren in the United States. Can you believe that? Yeah. Even the Holy Land, Pennsylvania. Amen. had less people, less believers than California. Well, they got all the way out to California. They'd crossed the United States. Now where do we go? In 1895, they sent people to India to share the gospel. And in 1908, they sent people to China to take the gospel. And in 1922, they sent people to Africa, specifically to Nigeria, to teach people about Jesus. You see, we have been, for at least 200 years of our 300 years that we've existed as a people, we have chosen to go out to people rather than demanding that people come to us. One of my favorite stories, you probably know that Carol and I served in Nigeria twice. And one of my favorite stories was in the very beginning when Albert Helsel and his friend, who did we say that was? Stover Culp. Helsel and Culp came in 22. And back then, Nigeria, where we served in the 70s and in the 80s, I mean in the 80s and in the 2000s, I lost my train of thought. We were there after Culp and Helsel had done their work there. And so I'm not sharing this story as one that I observed myself, but it was kind of a legend in Nigeria. When their wives came to join them a year after they had gone there to kind of go to where they would be sharing the gospel and learning the Bora language and building some little hut where they and their wives could live. And when the wives finally came, they brought with them a Model T Ford. Now, paved roads in Nigeria back then hardly existed, but there was actually a train that went from the south of Nigeria up to the middle of Nigeria. And so they took this train to Jos, which Carol and I lived in the last time we were serving in Nigeria. And they started driving this Model T down off of the Jos Plateau, and they hit what they thought was just a bunch of dirt, and it was a big rock that ripped the oil pan out from under their Model T Ford. And they couldn't go any further in their car. They actually hired 20 strong men, 10 to push and 10 to pull this car back up on top of the plateau where there was said to be a mechanic who could fix it. So Stover Culp and his wife Ruth decided, well, we're not going to wait till they get that thing fixed. And so they took their bicycles out of the Model T, and they began biking out to Garkita, which is where they started the mission work in Garkita. Now, Garkita was a mere 480 miles away. And they were going through Africa when it was not safe to be in Africa. You know, they didn't have any bears there. But they had every other kind of creature that you can imagine. And here they are, these two middle-aged people biking 480 miles to their destination. Why? Because they had come to reach the people, to go to where the people were. And after 2 years of working with the people, they had six young men who became baptized, and the church grew. And today, Ecclesia Yeno in Nigeria, Church of the Brethren in Nigeria, is the largest Anabaptist church in the world. Wow. Has well over 1 million members. Yeah. We need to go to where hurting people are and share with them the love of Jesus. Next, it says that Jesus went, after going through these villages and towns, he preached the gospel in synagogues and in other places, and he taught. And Jesus' version of teaching was a little different than we think of these great orators of the faith today. Jesus told stories. We call the stories parables. And when he didn't have a big crowd to share a parable with, he just engaged with people and talked with them and asked them how they're doing and spoke into their lives. Remember the woman at the well? He actually went to her and he asked her to give him some water. That's a wonderful strategy that we need to follow within the church. Rather than thinking we have our act together and we know all of the answers, we need to go to people who are outside of Christ and ask for their help on things. And if we ask for their help, then they may come and ask for our help when it comes to spiritual things. We need to go to where hurting people are. We need to share the good news with them. And it doesn't need to be as a great orator, but just as a person telling wonderful stories, the stories of Jesus. Thirdly, Jesus was a healer. Now, there is a spiritual gift of healing. I don't happen to have that gift. Now, God has used me a couple of times. I told this story last week about a healing that happened when I and some others went in and laid our hands on a young boy who was dying, and he was miraculously healed. That hasn't happened often in my 54 years of ministry. I don't have the gift of healing. God has occasionally used me in healing work. But God has given all, if you're a follower of Jesus, God may not have given you the gift of healing, but God has given you the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And you can do a whole lot of healing in people's lives by sharing your love with them, your joy with them, your faith with them. See, a lot of the people that Jesus healed didn't have physical ailments. They had spiritual ailments. And those are people that we are today. If you love Jesus, if you know Jesus, you are today fully equipped to share the love of Jesus with others out there. Fourth thing, I think that was the third one, wasn't it?
Sounds good.
Yeah, sounds good?
Sounds good.
Good. I'll always look to you. Even if you say, it's not so good. My wife, you can take her place. So we are to go to where hurting people are. We are to teach them about Jesus. And again, Jesus' style was kind of a show-and-tell style of teaching. He showed people how to live their lives with grace and goodness. And then he also shared stories with them. And Jesus had a healing ministry and calls us to love people into wellness. And then Jesus was also one who had tremendous compassion. In this scripture that we read, it says that when he went out, he saw people and they were like sheep without shepherds. And I tell you, I see many people like that in the work that I do. Just people who are just aimlessly wandering, searching for truth, wishing that they could be persons of faith, but feeling like they've been too sinful to be able to ever earn God's grace. Of course, that's a lie. And Satan sometimes makes us believe lies. There isn't anything that you could ever do that God would not be willing to forgive. God loves us more than we could ever imagine. I don't know how it is with you who are parents, but we have four sons. And this will shock you because you've seen me and you know that I'm, you know, I border on perfection. My sons didn't. But you know what? In spite of that, I love them. I loved my sons to the point where I wouldn't have thought twice about giving them the kidney if they needed it. Where I wouldn't have thought twice about laying down my life if it would help them. And that's the kind of God we have. He's for us, never against us. We are forgiven people if we choose to be forgiven. Jesus also had great compassion for people who were lost, who were hurting. And I don't know how it is for you, but I've visited churches where I didn't experience a whole lot of compassion. I had a friend who planted a church in Texas. And every Friday night, he would go to a bar not far from his church. And he'd sit there and he'd drink a Coca-Cola and build relationships with people. And one day, one of the women who was a barmaid at this bar showed up at his church. And there were two church ladies sitting behind her. And one of them said, "What is someone like her doing here?" And they purposely said it loud enough so that she could hear it. And she got up before the service began, and she left, and she never returned to that congregation. We are called to be a people of compassion, not a people of condemnation. Too many people leave the church because they feel they don't have the right kind of dress to wear. Or they're not clean enough. Or they need a haircut. And we look at them and wonder, what is someone like that doing here among God's elect? Man, I don't know of anything that can be more sinful than having that kind of attitude for the hurting people for whom Jesus died. How dare us have that kind of attitude about people for whom Jesus died? Well, the final thing that we see here in these five things that we're able to do if we're followers of Jesus. The final thing is that we are to pray for laborers to bring in the harvest. Pray for laborers to bring in the harvest. And when we lived out in the bush in Africa, that was during our first time in Africa, we were out in the bush. And harvest time was, man, that was a wonderful time. It was wonderful because people were happy if they had enough crops to feed their family over the next year. We lived in a culture there where if one bad year when they didn't get enough rain and couldn't raise crops to feed their family, people would die. That's the kind of culture we lived in during our first time in Africa. And man, I remember one time when there was dancing in the streets because the harvest had been so great. Listen. There is an opportunity for us to be a part of an even greater harvest. You know that in the past 25 years, 40 million people have left the church. And for the most part, not because they were a bunch of sinners who didn't want to be in church. There were people like this woman who left when the ladies asked, what's someone like her doing here? We have a chance, friends, to be a part of a great harvest. And I hope that we will continue to commit ourselves to that here. The harvest time is a wonderful time. And I'd like for us to be a part of it. In fact, let me lay this out there. I'm not sure how we would do that here. One, I don't know you well enough to know what your gifts are. Two, I know that we're an aging group of people, and when I planted a church, and out of the first 200 people there, at least half of them were 22 years old or younger. And it's pretty easy to do things with young people who are full with energy, and you say, hey, let's go down to Mexico. All right, where do I sign up? But we're, myself included, you know, we're an age where we walk a little more slowly and we don't take on some of the challenges that we would have 20 or 30 years ago. And so we need to figure out how it is that we can do our part in bringing in the harvest. You hear what I'm saying? Yeah. And I don't know us well enough to know how we should do that. And so what I'd like to do is, if two or three of you are feeling any kind of burden to be a part of this harvesting, I want you to, my phone number is in the church directory. I'll be here for a while this morning and hopefully next week as well. And if God is speaking to you and saying, yeah, I'd like to talk with you about how we can do a bang-up job of going out into the harvest and bringing in the sheaves. I think if three or four of us could get together and pray together and talk together, there are things that you could teach me. I would like to see us be a harvesting body of Christ. Why? Because I follow Jesus. And Jesus said, I need to pray for laborers to go out into the harvest. And so that's what I'm going to be doing in my work that I do here with you. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Let's do it.
Amen.
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 Amen. What do we do next here? I guess we sing a song.
Yeah.
Number 387. Let's stand as we sing together.
Thou art the Father.
meet us now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have I no way, Lord, have I no way, thou art unweary, help me I pray. Power of power, surely is thine, Christ of yon
present you faultless before the presence of his glory, to the only wise God, our glory and majesty, now and forevermore. And all of God's people said, Amen. Praise God from the Lord,
blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below.
Final song.
Go now in peace. Go now in peace. May the love of God surround you everywhere.
Everywhere.
You may go.
Go now in peace and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.